You're listening to Radio Influence.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Crushell here. We are your weekly source for performance information, questions, comments, smart-ass remarks. Get to us, crushperformance.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Facebook. Go to our page, Crush Performance, or join our group, The Talent Grid. If we look at the sporting world today, one of the most important groups in the entire sporting system are our youth, our kids, the developmental process of sport performance. If we look at some of the issues we're facing, for example, the dropout rates that we're seeing, the highest dropout rates in recorded history. You know, some of the numbers are indicating as high as 70% of kids registered in organized sport are dropping out through the age of 12, 13, 14, and 15. Now, a lot of that has to do with changes of interest. Kids are maturing, they have different interests. But when we look at the data and the research where they've interviewed kids who are dropping out, asking them why, you know, the number one reason is they're not having fun anymore. Some of it has to do with injuries, and injuries we know are connected to overtraining and early specialization. Some of it's just flat out burnout. So when we look at the developmental levels of sport, we know it's a process, but it needs to be handled properly. So as the spring sporting season kicks off, I look to soccer as sort of the focal point for this conversation. We went to Crush favorite Kelly Hodson, who is a technical coach for the Scottish United Soccer Club up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And he's also the head coach for the U16 girls team. I'm calling this Tales from the Trenches. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Well, listen, we're going to get away from our normal conversations about technology and equipment and all the good things going on in that world. We'll touch on that in a bit. And we're going to delve into your experiences in the coaching world. We've been running a series this year where we're focusing on coaching and coaching ideas and coaching philosophies. And this one I'm calling Tales from the Trenches. How does that sound to you?
That sounds good.
Excellent. So I just wanted to talk to you about some of the experiences you've had over there with the soccer organization, the Scottish United Soccer Club. Great organization, doing some great things for the game. But we're making the transition right now in the northern areas, in the northern states and in the Canadian regions, where we're going from our indoor season to our outdoor season. And you've been working with this group of girls for quite some time. Development in terms of, you know, young athletes, it truly is a process, isn't it?
Oh yeah, very much so. It's there's a lot of peer pressure in Canada and even North America for that for the ball mighty win, and it's tough you know, to stay on track to be able to say, you know, develop it before results, and you know, when results matter, which is in the older ages in the LTPD. Then those things can happen. Those things can be the focal point. But certainly at the younger ages, I mean, everybody wants to win. Even when you're 1 year old, you want to win. And certainly, you know, as you go up, those challenges become more difficult to ensure that you're putting, you know, player development before the win.
Yeah, and that's an interesting perspective. And this is one of the reasons I'm so glad to have you on here today. Kelly, you are a dad. Your daughters play the game. You've been around this group of particular girls for quite some time. Maybe give us a little flashback of the timeline you've had with these girls up to now, where, yeah, the game is getting a little more serious for the girls who stuck with it.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, this is my third time through taking a group from U4 all the way through to U17. And this is my youngest of the daughters. Yeah, I mean, as we've begin to evolve over time, over the last, you know, 20 some years that I've been coaching, there's even more pressure. And it comes a lot from the parent group. And so for a coach, you know, to be able to stand and say, look, you know what, we're a process before we're results. And then we're focused on player development. And yes, we will sacrifice the almighty win in some cases at a U6 or U8 level to ensure that player development is still at the forefront. And as long as it's, you know, my experience says, as long as you're transparent about that and you're like, you know what, this is what we're going to do. And you know what, I get that your daughter may be the almighty striker and is going to score 18 goals in every game and those kinds of things. Today I want her to play defense, or today I want her to be a keeper at the younger age groups and stuff. And I really believe that the full experience to the player will help them at those older age levels. I mean, the Hope Solo story is a great example, you know, a keeper in for the women's national team in the U.S. But never was a keeper until her later ages of youth soccer. She happened to be a striker,
right? So you got to think that her experiences in those other positions probably make her a little more competent as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, and I mean, as my girls are now experiencing, as we're just finishing our last season of youth, this season is now there's women's soccer, and now there's maybe college or university opportunities in Edmonton, maybe Alberta, maybe Western Canada or national, or even into the U.S. And there is story after story after story about you play your youth soccer in this position and stuff. But every coach looks at the game differently. Every coach looks at players differently. And they may say, oh, you know what, she may be a right fullback for us, but hey, I really see some opportunity in the central midfielder for her. And if those players at young ages aren't exposed to multi-positions like that, is when the college coach comes up and says, hey, I really like your game out there today. I noticed that you play the right fullback position. I was really thinking about you in the midfield. What do you think about that? And if your reaction as a player is, I've never played that, or I don't know, I'm a right fullback and that's all I play, you may lose out on opportunity there. At those college university levels.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Kelly Hodgson, technical coach for the Scottish United Soccer Club in Edmonton, Alberta. Also head coach of the U17 Tier 1 girls team there. This is a tale from the trenches as we get down to the grassroots level and right into the developmental process. Kelly, a couple of interesting points I think that come out of this conversation already. And one is the game of soccer. The popularity is growing, and there's no question around the globe it is the number one sport for sure, for a number of different reasons. But now we're getting into this situation where we have the indoor season and the outdoor season, and we just spoke about something that's really important, the idea of specialization. Let's talk about specialization in sport. You know, if we look at that long-term athlete development model, we know that probably, sampling multiple sports to those younger ages is really, really important before you specialize. And yet soccer now, I mean, when you look at all of the programs and academies, I wonder if soccer is heading into a dangerous territory in terms of early specialization. What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are a lot of pressures there. And we do live in that culture here in North America where you want to be a better soccer player, you play more soccer. You want to be a better hockey player, you spend more time on the ice. And there's a lot of pressures out there, but you're right. There is some good information here for people who want to pay attention to be able to say, you know, specializing too early can be detrimental to an athlete's development within the sport you think you want them to be in. But also as an athlete, you have underdeveloped muscle groups throughout the body that can not say only be developed, but certainly can be assisted in their development by, you know, cycling, or maybe you're a swimmer, or maybe you want to play hockey in the winter and you want to be a soccer player in the summer and on and on and on. So there's that part of it for sure that says don't specialize too early. I'm very proud to say that even at the U17 Tier 1, I mean, we're a group that's been to provincials and have been to nationals, whatever. We have over 50% of our girls that are still now multi-sport athletes. And I attribute a lot of our success to that is they're able to go and play another sport. They're able to move their body differently, and they're able to hear different voices from different coaches to get different perspectives. And they're a more mature athlete when they're playing with me.
Oh, great stuff, Kelly. You know, another thing that you're involved in, of course, is the fitness and the preparation of the athletes. And, you know, if we do see athletes that specialize, that part of the game and that part of the program becomes even more important because it kind of has to compensate for the absence of that experience in other sports.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in any sport, question you, but I've talked at this at length, is that if you think that I'm going to be a better soccer player by just going to be on the field more and kicking balls more and dribbling balls more, that will develop you to a point. Same thing with hockey and shooting the puck and passing the puck and skating and stuff. I mean, there's so much work that is done away from the pitch now. And you have to be careful with that too. You're not going to take your 6-year-old and put her in the gym and put her under a squat rack and say, let's go to town. So there is periodization that goes through that as well. And what to do at what age levels and such. But simple things like just physical literacy and body movement and understanding those at a young age and introducing them to, you know, hurdles and ladders where they can be fun. I mean, you see them on TV and you see pro athletes use them. Oh, that's not for my, I mean, you can introduce those at the young age and have a lot of fun with, you know, simple things like cones and hurdles and ladders and introducing at a young age makes them more comfortable or competent at those middle ages. And when it comes to this, you know, this stage where my girls are using those 3 or 4 days a week and they're in the gym once a week and stuff, it's not foreign to them. And so when they get to that next level, as you know, we're going through now, and we're touring the universities in Edmonton and Western Canada. And we were lucky to get down to the States and tour a couple down there. And when they're hearing some of the things that we're doing already at this stage at the U16 and then now the U17 age, it just makes that transition for that athlete so much easier into the university ranks.
No, great stuff. We're talking with Kelly Hodgson, the technical coach for the Scottish United Soccer Club in Edmonton, Alberta. Also coach of the U17 Tier 1 girls team there. Kelly, I'm all about the cones, man. All about the cones. There's so much fun you can have inside of a practice, on a daily practice, a weekly program that really does challenge athletes away from the sport. But you mentioned something that I thought was very, very intriguing. You talked about the experiences in other sports and getting the perspectives of other coaches in other sports and how that sort of allies itself with the maturity of young athletes. That's a very, very interesting perspective that we don't hear talked about that often.
Yeah, there is a lot of you play for me and that's all. And, oh, hey, just wait, coach, I have an opportunity to go play for this provincial team. Will you let me go? No, you're my you stay with me. And I mean, that's just within the sport. Never mind, you know, a kid looking for an opportunity to go play at in another sport for another coach. My middle daughter is one of them. I mean, she was a soccer player at the tier one level and things were looking really promising for her. And she got exposed to team handball in high school. And then she went down that path. And I mean, those doors opened up for her to be playing for the provincial team and the national team. And that sport has now taken precedent. And I think as a parent, maybe you are that person that says, you know, I played soccer, I played hockey, I want you to follow my footsteps and you will make those ranks. But I think most parents would say, I want my daughter or son to be able to participate in a sport that they very much enjoy. And if they're an elite athlete and they can get some unique experiences, then you don't have to follow where I went. You can, you know, make your own path. And I couldn't be more proud of my middle daughter that's gone and made those paths for herself. I mean, she's toured halfway across the world and on a number of different occasions with the provincial and national program and she's having a great time. And so I think you as a parent, you as a player, you have to be encouraging to be able to say, you know, gain as many experiences as you can, hear as many voices as you can, and take in all that information. And when it comes time to what you're going to have to make a decision at your older ages to be able to say, okay, now I'm going to start to make this my priority. Maybe I've got a scholarship at this college or this university and this sport, now I'm going to start to go down this path, then you can start to specialize. But until then, boy, leave all the doors open and try to hear as many things as you can to try to take in as much information as you can.
Yeah, no, great advice. And that truly is Tales from the Trenches right there as we talk with Kelly Hodgson, technical coach for the Scottish United Soccer Club. Kelly, you know, we talk about, you know, some of the great initiatives across sport right now. And FIFA is one of the leading organizations when it comes to health and welfare and keeping players in the game. Now, their job is to get players in the game and keep them in the game. And we know that injury is one of the biggest reasons athletes quit sport. The FIFA 11 Plus program has been a real big initiative, and I think it's spurred on other professional sporting organizations to get involved in grassroots development. This type of an approach, I think, is just good for sport in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's umpteen numbers of movement exercises within that FIFA 11 Plus program that you know, are just good movement and gives kids a good understanding of what safe movement is, you know, not leaving yourself exposed and introducing a greater risk of injury. And then what comes, you know, with that FIFA 11 program as well is movement and strengthening key muscle groups, key muscle areas, and specifically around the knee area. So, you know, when we do some knee assessments on kids and stuff, and, you know, we're trying to make sure that they're not leaving themselves exposed and that they're, you know, trying to get their knees to neutral and not having them cave in or too far outside. And, you know, you start introducing again, those at younger ages and boy, I mean, yeah, how many knee injuries do we have to hear about in female football or soccer? You know, that takes kids out of the program. And, you know, there's a great ambassador from our past national program, Caroline, that played, and her career was cut way too short to be able to show everything that she had. And she's been a great ambassador for that, to be able to say, look, you know what, make sure that athletes at young ages, you get proper movement, you get strengthening specifically around that knee area and, you know, your large muscle groups in your legs and stuff, and those will help protect your knees for a long time to come.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that the majority of those knee injuries are non-contact injuries, which, you know, bodes even more for the argument of, you know, just proper movement and just preparing for the game properly.
Yeah, it's underdeveloped muscle groups and stuff, and yeah, you think and over on the other side, overcompensated on the larger muscle groups that, you know, that aren't helping in that area at all. And you're right. I mean, the countless, as I've gone through the last 20 years and stuff, the countless numbers of knee injuries have nothing to do with contact. It's just one direction and then a quick change of direction without good body posture and a good positioning on the knees as you make that cut and stuff. And if you don't have that, certainly as you get into the older age groups, you introduce yourself to injury pretty quickly.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Kelly Hodgson, the technical coach for the Scottish United Soccer Club in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Kelly, let's get to the nuts and bolts of the conversation here. You know, we talked earlier about the pressure on young athletes to win, everybody trying to be competitive, everybody maybe trying to push the process of development, which just isn't possible. It is a process that needs to, you know, follow its own ebb and flow. But you've had an interesting experience here in the last little while, and I'd like to share this for other coaches and parents who are out there, because I think this is an important conversation to have. You're a firm believer in fair play and fair playing time and, you know, having everybody on your squad having the opportunity to play. But you ran into some, I guess, some opposition to that.
Yeah. You know, and first and foremost, you have to have the support. And so what I would love to say first is that if you don't have the support by your club and by your technical director to be able to say, look, we are player development first. That's, you know, so just know that whatever decisions you make, as long as you your decisions are in line with that, we will give you our full support and stuff. And so Kevin Poissant is a great ambassador for the game here in Edmonton, and he's our technical director at the club. And to be able to know that you go into a season with the support of your club and your technical director, and that marries very, very well with player development, it takes a lot of the stress off it, because you know you're just singing from the same hymn sheet as the club and again, your technical lead. So yeah, I mean, when we used indoor season as a development season, it's a modified game to the outdoor game. And for us at the outdoor, when we get to outdoor, that's when it matters for us. That's when the opportunities for provincials and maybe a national championship comes along. And so I'm a full believer that you don't just develop your starting 11 players, and you don't just develop your starting 12 or your follow-up two after the starting 11, is that you need a full squad. And for us most recently is as we went and we were lucky enough to make it to the national championship last year. There was a time when we had four starters out of competition because of injury or illness or whatever. And it was only, you know, we were only able to gain the success that we did just because we had a very deep roster. We had good development, and we had players that have seen field time, and that development really comes through the indoor season. And so, yes, I mean, there was, we joke about it often. It was, we went through last indoor season with only one loss and had a great season and stuff. But just the season before, we started the season at 1-7. And, you know, a lot of questions being asked at that point. Hey, we're not the right team. And we're focusing, you know, why is that girl going on the field when we're down by one goal? We should be putting our stars on the field. But we stick true to the development process. And like I say, when it mattered most, the following outdoor season, we're able to have a very successful outdoor season. And I really attribute to the fact that we had good development of athletes on the bench. We had good development of a team. So when players were put in really, really tough situations, they had to step in and play real quality minutes for us, is that it wasn't foreign to them. It wasn't, oh, shoot, I haven't played since Thursday of 3 weeks ago. Is, yeah, I just played recently, and I know what this means, and I know what this looks like, and I was able to do my role and play my part on the pitch, and really our success came from a team success, not by any one individual.
Yeah, and that's great. I think sometimes it's hard for parents to see the forest for the trees. It is a process. It is a long-term process. I love the idea that, you know, in a year where you guys weren't being so successful, you guys stuck to your developmental game plan, and now the entire team is reaping the rewards. And it's unfortunate that, you know, maybe some of the girls and the parents move their girls on. I think those particular athletes lose out in this situation. But now this is a true story of process, you know, from the trenches. I love this concept.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And when everybody buys in and everybody's sitting on the bus and we're all driving together, you know, it really makes the process that much easier and stuff. But, you know, for the younger coaches out there and inexperienced coaches and stuff, it is tough. There's a lot of pressure to win. And, you know, if you don't have to look much farther than just looking at the pro ranks, and when you're seeing that your favorite team is losing a game on the thing, it's, you can draw that back to a U6 game pretty quickly and say, oh, we're not losing today. Mm-hmm. Today is our day to win and stuff. And when really, like I say, at the younger ages, it really has nothing to do with wins and losses. It has to do with the player experience first and foremost. The kids have to be having fun and doing what they're doing and enjoying the game. And then they'll give all themselves to you. And then you really start to see the fruits of the labor starting to come along. When a child out there is really enjoying what they do, they're going to develop that much quicker for you, which makes your job that much easier. And if you can just, like I say, be very, very transparent with the parents and say, look, you know what, we're out here, we're a player development model first, and our wins may not come today, and it may not even come next week, or may not even come through the season. But if we stick to the process and we put the process before the result, when it comes time to win, we will be the better team for it.
Sage advice, Kelly Hodson, Tales from the Trenches. I really, really appreciate your time today. Fantastic conversation. And as far as I'm concerned, the more parents, coaches, and athletes that hear this conversation, the better it will be for sport in general. Kelly, much appreciated.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the talk. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Fantastic conversation with Kelly Hodson, technical director for the Scottish United Soccer Club up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Just a great perspective from a parent and coach who's been through the system there. I have to thank Kelly for sharing his insights on the process of athlete development and some of the experiences he's faced along the way and how he's dealt with it. Again, it's a process. The development of a young athlete is a process. And then it takes, you know, time to develop that talent and skill. And hopefully one day, maybe it'll appeal to a scout or a college recruiter, and a young athlete may get to live the dream of playing high-performance sports. And I want to thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please pass it on to friends, families, workmates, teammates, coaches, and we'll talk to you next week on Crush Performance.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Hey, you guys, it's me, the fabulous sports babe. How wonderful is that? I'm on Radio Influence, I'm on iTunes, I'm on Stitcher, and it's on a bunch of stuff that I can't get on my phone because I don't figure out how to do it. But if you want to do that, you get my lovely podcast now. You can go and do this. You can be mowing the lawn. You can go into the moon. You can do any of that stuff, and you can listen to the fabulous sports babe. I have a lot of people to talk to because, after all, that's what I do, is just annoy them all the time. It's the fabulous sports babe. It's right here on Radio Influence.